This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Cheryl Hines.
Tig Notaro.
Yes.
I'm excited. We're doing a lot of wiener stuff today.
This is the most wiener stuff I think I've ever...
This is like top to bottom wiener.
Okay.
Top to bottom wiener.
And I wish we, you know, my one...
Regret?
Regret is that we didn't record this in person now that
I know.
We can.
We will.
But we did see each other in person recently.
We did.
Our listeners might want to know. Cheryl came to, and Thomas, our producer, came to a screening of the movie that Stephanie and I directed.
It was so exciting and so fun and so good. Oh, I posted something on my Instagram.
From that day?
Yeah. I have you in a headlock.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'll have to look at it.
Okay. Listen, let's get to it, shall we?
Right.
Today we're talking about Wiener, the documentary Wiener.
Mm-hmm.
So ladies and germs, welcome to Wiener.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast, and Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl.
Yeah, hi, Tig.
Hi. I really hate being braggadocious, but
Well, maybe don't. Okay, go ahead.
But it's worth it. Guess who invited me on their podcast today?
Barbara Streisand?
I don't know if it's... Yes.
That's not true.
Like she has a podcast? Picture her sitting in her closet with some low rent microphone and being like, oh, my Zoom went out. I can guarantee Barbara Streisand's Zooms have never gone out. You know, there is the biggest router in every room and closet, and she's all set.
She's set.
No.
Okay, who invited you?
It's even bigger and better.
Am I supposed to guess, or are you going to tell me?
I mean, I can tell you, or you can guess. I mean,
is it a male or female?
Male.
Oh. Oh, Obama?
Bigger.
Does Obama have a podcast?
He does, actually.
He does?
Yeah, I think with Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that's pretty
adorable. We all saw it coming.
Oh. Okay, just tell me. I will never guess, and I'm sure I'll...
Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
I wouldn't have either, but when I got the email invite to be on his podcast, I was like, he knows who I am?
Dr.
Sanjay Gupta? And I said, Stephanie, Dr. Sanjay Gupta asked me to be on...
What is he going to talk to you about?
Don't look at me.
I mean,
with
why are you showing up on his radar? What do you know about that he could glean from you?
People go to me because of all of my sicknesses. You know, and he said, oh, thanks for laughing.
No, but, you know, you queued it up.
It makes sense because he talked to me about health, and he talked about how comedy can be good for your health and your state of mind. And you know, nice. you can find a reason to talk to me if you want to talk to me.
If one wanted to.
And yeah. That one did. Okay. That one did. Don't you love him?
I do love him.
Oh my God. He's the best.
He seems so pleasant.
And he is.
I know you probably didn't go see him, but I think he smells good. In my mind, he does. I think he smells like hair, like fresh hair gel.
Like hair? Oh, okay. He was in his closet in Atlanta. And I really thought it would be a little more high tech than that because, you know, it's Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah.
But I could tell for sure. Like, he smelled so good. I could just tell all the way in my office in Los Angeles.
Well, that's exciting. We'll all tune in.
Have you done anything cool or?
Have I done anything cool?
Because we've been on a hiatus.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I did?
What?
I had 10 18-year-olds at my house for a week from Florida. So that kept me very busy.
Did they think it was weird that a woman your age was inviting them over to her house?
It was my niece and nephew. They just graduated from high school. Okay. And then I had to rent a 15-passenger van to take them around town. And then I was like showing
Were
them
Were you driving?
Yes, I had to drive that friggin'... Those things are big, too, by the way.
And then I know.
And then I was showing them around Beverly Hills. We were walking, and TMZ
in
came
a 15-person van?
No, we had parked, and I was giving them a walking tour of Beverly Hills. And then TMZ was like, Cheryl Hines, what are you doing? You know, and they're walking backwards with their camera.
Yeah.
I'm like, uh-huh. Please don't. And he's like, no, what are you doing? He goes, it looks like you're giving a tour. And I said, well, yeah, I am. These guys
Slim
are here.
Slim pickings these days.
It was such Slim Pickens that he caught up with me a block down to pick up where he left off and asked me what I knew about Beverly Hills and what I'm telling them. I'm like, look, I don't know.
I was saying Slim Pickens like you haven't worked and you have to get Hollywood tours.
I thought you meant Slim Pickens in the celebrity world.
Like he
this
couldn't
is
find
the,
me, yeah, so this he is found the you.
Yeah, he was looking for hot tig. See, I said it before you did.
Hashtag.
Okay.
So we've both been busy. So we both haven't been busy.
Let's talk about our documentary.
Okay.
Wiener is a 2016 documentary directed by Josh Kriegman and Elise Steinberg. It follows Anthony Wiener's attempted political comeback after resigning from Congress in 2011 following a sexting scandal. Wiener follows Anthony's 2013 campaign for mayor of New York City, his relationship with his wife, Huma Abedin, and his various interactions with the press, the public, and his campaign staff. The documentary debuted at Sundance, where it won the grand jury prize.
I have to say.
Yeah, tell me.
I could not get enough of this documentary. I loved it. Oh, my gosh.
It was Wiener being Wiener.
Wiener. I mean, he wienered it up.
He was wienering it out.
He was wienering it down and out and up and around.
It's interesting because he is just, what's the word? Like somebody who's never embarrassed. Is there a word for that?
Shameless?
Yeah, Shameless.
Yeah.
He is Shameless.
Which is an excellent song written by Billy Joel, also recorded and performed by Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's a great song.
Shameless. That's all
shameless
I remember.
Shameless as a man can be. They did it better.
Yeah. I'm
Shameless.
Okay. So... In 2010.
Did you know that was written by Billy Joel?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well,
no, I knew that. I only knew the Garth Brooks. Did Billy Joel write it and perform it first, or did he write it for?
We don't have no more questions.
So in 2010, New York Congressman Anthony Wiener, which by the way, did you notice he looks like what's his name that sang for Van Halen?
David Lee Roth?
Yeah, he looks like David Lee Roth to me with short, dark hair.
No.
Yes, he does.
You're wrong.
Well, if David Lee Roth didn't have the long hair,
which he doesn't anymore.
Oh, then maybe he's bald. Is he bald?
Well, he has very short hair and he's balding.
Oh, God. I got to Google him or not? Don't bother.
I mean, it's up to you, Cheryl. I mean, it's how you want to spend your time. Do you want to be Googling David Lee Roth 2021? Balding? David Lee Roth bald spot?
Why would I care so much? Like, I'm not going to remember to. I'm not, after this podcast, nothing in
you
my...
You should make a little Google list.
I have to make a note. Yeah. Make sure to...
You don't even have to write "make sure to." Just write "David Lee Roth bald spot."
But then,
and maybe at the top, write Google, and underneath it, you can have an ongoing list of things.
Well, I don't need to. You listen. I don't need to see his bald spot. It's not. I mean, I am curious to see what he looks like without the long blonde locks.
He looks good.
Okay,
I saw him in concert.
But does he have a tiny head? I imagine him having a tiny head without the long hair.
Well, it's not a huge head, I'll be honest. I'll be completely honest with
Thanks.
You.
Thanks, too.
He does not have a huge head. I feel like it is normal to small.
Yeah, same with Anthony Weiner.
Anthony Weiner's head is itsy bitsy.
Okay, let me just tell you something about Anthony Weiner.
Okay.
It's in this film, it's interesting to see him, you know... Mm-hmm. Back in 2010, when he gave this passionate speech in favor of the 9/11 emergency responders.
And it was incredible.
It was amazing. Passionate. He's saying, these guys and ladies deserve the very best.
He did it better than you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should be doing everything we can. Yeah, much better.
You're paraphrasing.
Yeah, Google
you're
paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And the speech went viral. He built a reputation for standing up against the Republicans and calling them out. You know, you should be doing this for the 9/11 responders. You know, so it's fascinating because it starts out with, oh, my God, I love
this
Anthony
fearless,
Weiner.
His fearlessness turned to shamelessness.
Yes.
And I guess it didn't turn to that. It probably was always there.
It exposed it. Right?
Should we do it again?
It exposed it. Okay.
Say it again.
I'm not. That's it.
Okay.
So Weiner was married to Huma Abedin.
You just spilled the beans.
That he was married to her?
Past tense.
Oh, I see what you
They mean. Never confirmed that they split up in the end. That was the weird part.
Oh, okay. So now Huma was one of Hillary Clinton's closest advisors.
Wasn't she her top advisor?
It seemed like.
I mean,
listen,
that was her person.
Yes, that was her person. That was Hillary's person. And Anthony Weiner, I mean, I guess we could just call him Weiner. At some point, it's shocking that we haven't giggled about his name.
Oh, I have. You haven't?
Well,
in your
not
life?
On this podcast yet. But in the film, it's funny because the word Weiner is used in lots of different ways.
You're saying for those listeners that don't know that? What are you saying?
Yeah, for listeners that don't know that.
And what are the lots of different
ways? Well, like headlines.
I thought you were just saying in general the name or the word Weiner is often used for many different things. And I couldn't think of anything other than sausage. See, that never even crossed my mind.
Okay. So Anthony Weiner is on top of the world, and he sends a picture. He tweets a picture of his
Weiner.
Well, it was in his underwear, to be fair. This one was.
This particular wiener, this particular day.
Yes.
This particular photo and happened to be.
He was wearing tight ones.
Yeah.
And so you could, I mean, is it safe to say it was half erect, right?
I mean, this is your territory.
Yeah,
this
you don't know about you these can, things.
Yeah, I'm okay. Unfamiliar. You can take this and run with
I'll
it.
I'll take the baton. So I would say, yes, it wasn't like flagpole standing up, but mm-hmm. it was, he definitely wanted whomever.
Half-mast.
Oh, nice. You do know things. Thank you. It was half-mast. And whoever was receiving that tweet, he wanted them to be able to see the outline of his junk. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the photo gets leaked. Wiener's embarrassed, but refuses to resign. Mm-hmm. And then he finally resigns from Congress. Mm-hmm. Even though it killed him because that he loved being a congressman. He was, you know, that was his passion and he was good at it.
Yeah, he was shining in it. I mean, he was so
shining.
So good.
So in 2013, 2 years after he resigned, he announces that he's going to run for the New York City mayor.
Which seemed a little quick, I would say.
Yeah. What happened in those 2 years?
I think it's just that, and this is probably very obvious, but I think it's his ego. He couldn't go away. You know, he couldn't be quiet and sit in the mess he made and clean it up before he returned to life. And I feel like that's something that you see over and over with people that are doing these weird behaviors and they just kind of need to go away and just clean up their mess and then have a better strategy, I think, with the return. It's not like
a strategy is a good idea. Well, also some self-awareness.
Yeah.
And, oh, what did I do to the people around me? And
what is the root of this?
Yeah. And what am I going to be like from this point in my life forward, right? Mm-hmm. So you hope that he would come back.
I have a kid coming into the world. I have a wife. Yeah. I have a great career. Do I really need
an amazing wife?
An amazing kid. I mean, that kid is adorable.
A stranger. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I really need to be sharing this photo? Is this pressing? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was very pressing. Because
against his underwear.
Hello. He's recognized all over the city with lots of different reactions. Some people are mad. Some people are so happy. And then Trump makes a video saying,
no
we don't
sexual
want perverts elected in New York. Yeah. No perverts.
No perverts.
Oh, God. Okay. So when he decided to run, some news articles were pointing out that he hadn't broken any laws. He hadn't broken up a marriage. He didn't have a physical affair. He didn't hire a prostitute. They were like, here, he could have been much worse.
Uh-huh.
So people were like, okay.
That reminds me of, you know, when people have exposed themselves and they say, I asked if I could do it. Why are people acting like that is gentlemanly? Like, oh, that's so impressive that in your office and in your work environment, you were so kind that you asked. Like
when your assistant came in.
Yeah, that when your assistant came in.
Pulling your pants down.
Yeah, that you asked, can I expose myself to you? It's so impressive of you.
It's impressive.
Sir. It's you know, your
thank
mother.
Thank you for your manners.
And you were taught well. What a gentleman. I don't get how, of course, people don't live perfect lives. And that there's...
We've all done stupid, really
and there's
things.
Inappropriateness. There's weird stuff. There's mistakes. There's dark spots. But to act like...
Because you ask someone who's working for you, can I show you my ding-dongs?
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, that's not so bad.
Well, thank you, sir, for asking, but no thank you. I was masturbating on the phone with her, but she could have just hung up the phone. It's like, why does it have, yes.
And
why
our bars are so low.
It's so low.
We expect so little from people.
People are like, he wasn't stabbing anybody in the eyeballs. What is the problem?
Right.
He didn't kidnap your child. He's just a married man sending photos around of his genitalia while his wife is pregnant. And it's just nothing similar to murder. So what is the big deal?
He did not break a law.
Right. Anyway, that's my feeling. Let's take a commercial break. We're going to do that. We have never done this before. We've never professionally thrown, as they say in the biz, to a commercial. So let's try it. Let's see how it feels. Let's go to a commercial break and we'll be back to talk about Wiener.
Wiener.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So here's the thing, Tig. Mm-hmm. So after he said he was going to run, after everybody got used to the idea, and it's like, okay, yes, let's all move on, but that's all the press wants to talk about. And then Huma is being scrutinized. People are now saying, what is she doing? Why is she with him? And at this point, she's like a daughter to Hillary. I mean, people love her. People in her community, she's very well respected. She's a very intelligent, well-spoken woman. Mm-hmm. And so she's having to do fundraising for Anthony. And people are willing to help because they love Huma. Yeah. And they love Hillary.
Yes.
And that was awkward, wasn't it, watching that? I hate watching people fundraise.
Yeah.
I hate the cold calling. Hey, how are the kids?
Hey, girl, oh, hey.
Great. Hey, yeah. Girl, hey. You got 10 grand you could throw my way.
Right.
Tell Bill hi. It's like, oh, way to work in the casual stuff while you ask for money. It just, I hate watching it. I hate doing it. It's hard.
Have you had to watch a lot of it?
Well, in this documentary, what if that's what I did most of the time is just watch people make phone calls?
Look, I don't know what you're up to. But yeah, it's... Wait, did we say we're back?
People know we're back.
I know, but I just
Oh, you wanted to you wanted to give an official... Okay, yeah. Tell everybody. Okay. You can tell everybody.
We're back.
Perfect.
Because you've heard us talking...
Probably know we're back.
We're back. I think it was a good choice to be more professional.
Yes, I think the listeners felt right. Really, I don't think they care, to be honest. Like you always say, they don't care. People they don't care. They get it. Care. It's a commercial and then you're back. If they hear you talking about Wiener, they know you're back. Yeah. So Wiener is now going around New York. He's, oh my God. He is in his element at every parade.
I have to say, it was fun to watch. It was exciting.
Fun
and then
to watch.
Yeah, and then they like switch off to the other like sad, pathetic...
De Blasio like,
parade, in quotes.
It looked like five people like... Going down the street with just one car. And then meanwhile, Wiener is like whooping it up at Gay Pride. With the Colombians. He is like speaking Spanish to the
crowd.
He's
kissing babies. He's doing the whole thing.
And you can see he loves every second. He loves the people.
Does he? That's where I'm asking. Does he love the people or does he love the attention?
Well,
because that came over me many times because he's very charismatic. He's very smart. He's great at what he does, whether it's, you know, politics or pulling his pants down. He nails it.
He composes a lovely picture.
And I think that he really, you know, he was referencing Rodney Dangerfield jokes.
Oh, that was awkward.
Okay, but it was insight. Yes. And there were certain things he said with certain delivery that I flagged as somebody that really loves comedy.
Yes.
Because he mimicked some deliveries of comedian, like the comedian vibe and delivery.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. He clearly is into
He's
that.
He's funny. Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard because you like him.
Yeah. I totally was like, man, I wish he had pulled it together and pulled his pants up because I see why she was
drawn
into
him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't feel like, and this is totally rude of me.
Yeah,
I feel like
it's just us.
Huma is
a hot number.
She is a real hot number.
A smoke show.
I mean,
say that anymore.
Here we go. Smoke show. She is a real smoke show.
Yeah, she is. So everybody was actually really looking to Huma at this time because they felt like, well, if she's standing by him, she was at a press conference, she's speaking, also very well spoken and, you know, just really smart. And she said that she got therapy and they made the decision to stay together. And then they did a photo shoot with Huma and the Sun for People magazine.
And wait, what was your feeling in that moment? Were you feeling like she really believes in him and she is promoting him 100% because...
I did not get that feeling. Did you get that feeling?
No, but how does that happen? You know, how does that happen?
What do you mean? That she did it? That she got up there?
I know they're married, but she's got a lot riding on.
She did have a lot. She just believed in him.
But did she?
Well, she
or
did.
Or did she do it for the sake of her marriage, for her family, her kid, just every, was she just... You know, you get to these desperate points sometimes in life and you're willing to do things that are not
that
your personality.
Like,
this doesn't feel right.
It felt to me like she was not being naive about it. Like, oh, hey, he's fantastic. She was like, look, I see why you guys are doubtful.
Here's what I think. I think she knows... She knew, and I do believe they went through so much therapy, and I think there was a lot of conversations, and you make that decision, am I going to forgive and try and move on and mend what we have?
Right.
And she clearly came to that decision that she was going to do that.
Yeah.
And also, she knows he has that element to be a great mayor, and she's probably believing he's going to keep his pants up.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
So if he will keep his pants up, he will be phenomenal.
Yes, because otherwise she would not risk her reputation and her political reputation.
So she really believed in that.
Yeah.
And she really believed, like, we are working on this and we're moving past this. You would make a phenomenal mayor. And if I back you, I bet you we can win this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Should we play a clip of him?
Yeah, why not?
So, Tig, when we're talking about Anthony Weiner, I mean, we both think that he's a very intelligent guy. And he says something in this that I thought was, it felt insightful and it felt intuitive. And He talks about kind of who he is and what makes him do what he does.
Mm-hmm. Do my personal relationships suffer because of the superficial and transactional nature of my political relationships, or is it the other way around? Do you go into politics because it's you're not connecting on that other level? And did the technology that undid me allow me to be in touch with people and have kind of more superficial relationships? You know, I don't know. I mean, look, it gets back to the very premise, you know, politicians probably are wired in some way that needs attention, but I don't, you know, I'm not blaming that for sure. But I think it is hard to have normal relationships.
I'm so mad at him.
I know.
That's how I feel watching the movie, because I'm just mad at him.
So what happened is, so everybody gave him, it seemed like people were giving him a second chance, right? I mean, his approval ratings were really high. Everything's going along. He's in the parades. And then...
That's when you know things are going well, is when you're in the parades.
In the parades. There's no way. And everybody's clapping. Nobody's inviting you to march in a parade if they don't like you.
Nobody. I couldn't have said it better myself, Cheryl. There is no way you're marching in a parade if somebody doesn't like you.
So things are going well. And then guess what happens?
I don't know. What happened?
Well, some texting and photo exchanging happens, and now he's
Wiener
did it again, but under a different name.
Wasn't it like Dangerous Charlie or something?
Carlos Danger.
Right.
Because he thought nobody would figure it out, although it comes also, from your phone.
And if you think nobody's going to figure it out...
then don't do it.
But no, here's the thing. If there's a chance somebody will figure it out,
yeah,
have a better name.
Yeah.
Like, don't have a name that can come back and haunt you and you can look even more ridiculous.
Right. Carlos Danger? Your name is already Wiener. Like, don't go with Carla. Do like Roger, you know, Billy Bop. I mean, maybe not Roger Billy Bop, but like Roger Smith.
Yes.
You know, something that people are not going to be excited about.
Yes.
So now people are furious with him because it's like, oh, my.
He did it again. That's how I felt. It was like,
me too.
I mean, I was so mad at him.
Oh, so mad.
Stop it.
Oh, no, this was great. This made me laugh because I've seen Lawrence O'Donnell a lot.
Oh, my gosh. You know, let's listen to this clip, but first let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story. And Wiener.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, so here's Wiener.
And we're back.
Oh. It's like clockwork. Here's Wiener on Lawrence O'Donnell after now the world has found out that he has been, he's at it again, now as Carlos Danger.
For me, it just comes down to this, which is, what is wrong with you?
I don't understand the question. What is wrong with me that I care so much about the issues that I fight for every day, that I have my entire career?
No.
Are you saying that because I have things in my personal life that are embarrassing, I shouldn't run for office? Okay, that's a fair position to have.
Because they're in two different studios, so he's just sitting there talking to
him. So let's work a little harder at that.
It does not seem to be a fully healthy pursuit.
I know there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who talk. Look, there are a lot of people who talk about.
If you take in the totality of your life, Anthony, do you think you've spent your time well?
I mean, it's very ballsy, isn't it, for Lawrence O'Donnell?
Oh my gosh, I feel like he did what I would love to do to certain people, and I could picture him. I mean, I just immediately place myself into his shoes, and I would just picture myself.
It's like, what?
It crossing my mind and dying laughing at the thought of, oh my God, should I do that?
And then he did. And not only once, but he kept saying it.
What is wrong with you?
And I like that Wiener's like, I don't understand the question. I mean, it is hard to.
He understood the question. He was trying so hard to just move it towards the right direction and get out of there. But Lawrence was like, no, what is wrong with you?
And by the way, the headlines on the New York Post, I mean, of course, all the headlines and, you know, I mean, now I can't think of one single good one, but, you know, Wiener sticks it out, and Wiener there were a lot of Wiener jokes.
I feel like I saw one that said Wiener has balls or something.
I mean, how can you not?
This is Huma's husband.
I know.
When you think about old timey days, can you imagine news headlines that said
Wiener has balls?
Yeah, in like the 1950s.
Right.
That would never happen.
No, it would never happen. But when you were watching this, wasn't it like you got to a point where you felt like, why are they rolling on this? And how?
On the movie?
The whole time.
Like after the first 5 minutes, I was like,
when you were,
what are you doing?
When they were in the kitchen and the living room,
how did Huma?
That's what I know.
I have so many questions, and I even felt bad. I kind of wish their little boy wasn't in this documentary.
I know.
Like,
I know,
take him out.
Yeah, I know.
Like, who had final cut?
That I don't know.
Because wouldn't you make yourself an EP and have it rolled into some deal? I mean, you're Wiener, but your wife is Huma. Don't you have some pull where it's like your attorney is not going to let this.
Right. Or
what
a PR
happened?
Person or some representative.
A friend.
A friend that would say, whoa, whoa, whoa.
What are you doing?
What are you guys doing?
But I guess they probably went in thinking he's not going to do that again.
This is the comeback, right. This is his comeback.
That's what happened. Because
get ready, world.
I have been the subject of a documentary, as you know. There are things I didn't think were going to happen on that documentary.
Right.
And I bet she believed wholeheartedly that this man
when the world sees who he
was
really
sorry,
is.
She believes in him, and we're going to turn this around, and we're going to win this race.
Yeah.
And it really did not go well. And if I were her, I would be in my bedroom saying, you guys need to leave.
Oh,
you need to leave.
That's what I said. And I'm certainly not victim blaming if you consider Huma a victim, but
no.
But it was, I was asking myself that question the whole time. Like, I would have, and I have a pretty cool temper most of the time. this would have been, I would have been differ. Like,
I've seen you.
I've seen you crazy. Lose your shit. I would have been like, hey, everybody.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, everybody, hey.
Get the F out of this. I wouldn't curse at people, but I'd be like, it's over. Shut it down. Get out. Nobody say a word until the cameras are off and everybody needs to leave. Thank you for coming. Goodbye. It's over.
Yeah.
But that never happened.
And wait, would you have raised your voice and really kind of snapped in a way?
No, I don't think I would have. I think I would have said something before I got to that point. But if people didn't pay attention to me, if they were like, no, we're just two more days. And then I was trying to barrel through. Then, yeah, at some point I would have been like, get out! Just everybody leave!
Here's what I would have done.
Yeah, what would you
I would have said, if you want to parade this circus through our house.
Oh, a speech. Yeah.
Knock yourself out. Pull your pants down. Do whatever you got to do. I'm going to a hotel.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Taking the
baby. And I'm not saying this. I'm not. I truly don't mean to judge Huma.
No, Huma, no, because.
I'm just. No, Huma, no.
But no, Huma, no.
But I'm just. That's how I felt when I was watching this. I was just like, go to your friend's house. Go to a hotel room. Take your child and go.
Right, because you can't control other people. You can't control other people. You can't control him. You can't control the film
crew. I can't control you, Cheryl.
But you can walk out the door.
I can. I've gone to get a hotel room many times.
Yeah.
When I can't control you.
Yeah. You can't. You just have to walk out. You take your dignity.
And bye, girl, bye.
So that was hard, especially at this point. It was hard enough already. And then at this point, you're like, what?
Curveball.
So now everybody in a town is hating him. They're yelling at him. He's getting into shouting matches.
We're mad at him at our houses years later.
Yes.
I was mad.
Yes.
You have everything going for you.
And then.
Go get help.
And then how? I did not like this at all. Mm-hmm. When he decides he wants a photo op strolling the baby down the sidewalk. And she's like, I'm not going with you. And he's like, well, oh, rude. The idea like, oh, poor me. My wife has turned on me. This is so sad. Okay, I'll do it alone. And then he strolls the baby.
And then does one of the things that I think is the saddest to see.
Yes.
When people are strolling a baby,
is
constantly talking and texting on the phone.
Yeah, that's.
I just always think it's sad looking when people are just texting and talking while they're pushing a baby, especially when the baby's facing you and you're.
Oh, that's bad. It looks like you really don't care. You're like, that is truly dialing it in. Well, how about when he's walking and then his documentary cameraman, I guess, was in the shot of the like the press that was trying to get the candid shots of him. And he's like, you're in the shot, get out of the shot, you're ruining the shot. It's like, oh my god, once again, no shameless
awareness.
And that's what you're just like, I can't.
And oh my god, talk about shameless. Him watching himself on these embarrassing moments on live television
on
and smiling
laughing and going, what, pretty good, huh, Huma? And she's like, I can't watch this, and walks out. And he's like, ha, 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 come on, you would have done the same. It's like, what? Why? Yeah, why didn't she? I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, even when Lawrence O'Donnell said, what is wrong with you? The best thing he could have done in that moment is to say, I know what you're asking me. And acknowledge what Lawrence is saying.
Right.
Even though Lawrence is being, you know,
not
very nice
it's
and mocking
a little below
him
the belt.
Yeah.
To Wiener. Huh?
But to take that moment and not fight him on it.
Right.
And act like he doesn't, like, oh, because I care about the people or have it escalate.
Right.
It would have been a great moment if he just would have said, I messed up.
I let everybody down. I know.
I've let everyone down and just got real in the moment.
Right. And how could I do this to my wife and my family and the people that love me? I hear you.
But does he feel that way?
No, I don't think so.
And that's the other problem. That's is the problem. Does he feel that way to even come to that moment?
No.
Because when you're wrong, you're very defensive.
Right. But when you realize, oh, shitballs, I did something terrible.
If Lawrence O'Donnell said to me, if he invited me on his show and I was on there and he said, and I had done something like this, and he said, what is wrong with you? I feel like I would acknowledge what he's talking about.
Or at the very least say, oh, I actually thought I was going to be interviewed about my campaign, but this is not going to be that interview. You know, at least to call it out, because that it is a crazy question for a journalist to ask.
It is, but...
But also...
It's part of his campaign.
Yeah.
What it's already there. It's already part of it.
Yeah.
And so you can't pretend like that you isn't. Don't,
right. Like, oh, I'm for the people. Well, like,
yeah. What? Oh, that's in the past. And yeah, I pulled my pants down or whatever, but I'm running for mayor and that's what I want to talk about. It's like, we'll get to that. But what is going on?
Right. What makes you do the things you do? I mean, that was what he was really asking.
Maybe I'm foolish, but I kind of would have seen it, I think, as somebody who has no idea what I'm talking about. And maybe I would have screamed at Lawrence O'Donnell and been like, you hurt my feelings. Or been defensive. But what I feel like I would have done is I would have said, honestly, I don't know. And I've been going to therapy.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that.
Right.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that I so love this city and these people. And I'm working on myself.
Yeah.
Because what can Lawrence do?
Right. No, you can't. There's no comeback to
it's
that.
It's like when I was doing stand-up, when people heckle.
Yeah.
I always say, I'm sorry you don't think I'm funny. I'm not for everybody. Instead of saying, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, you're the one with no job. How would you like it if I came into your office and
none of that. I don't get into any of that. When somebody heckles me, I just say, oh, yeah, I totally get it. People can't even recognize this as comedy. Some people can't, and I get it. And they don't come at me.
Right.
Because
you're not
it gets quiet.
Engaging. Because you're not engaging.
No, and I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So at this point, one of Wiener's sexting partners, her name is Sydney Leathers. I'm sure that she was born with that.
God-given name. Thank you, God.
Sydney Leathers makes an adult film called Wiener and Me. Okay. And now she...
And that's about him?
I guess so.
Wiener and Me.
Yeah, Wiener and Me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was also... I mean, she's a real treat to watch. Talk. She has a lot of glee when she talks about bringing Wiener down. Okay, good night, everybody.
Everybody has to find their way to make it through this life.
That's right, and she sure did. And on election day, so he does not step down, even though people were calling him saying, you are not going to win.
It's funny, he won't step up or down.
No, that's right. He continues on, and then Sydney Leathers... shows up to ambush
Ms. Leathers. Ms. Leathers. Do you have a comment? Ms. Leathers. Mr. Wiener. Ms. Leathers.
In front of his campaign office.
Mr. Danger?
No.
Ms. Leathers.
And then his crew, as a code name for Leathers, Sydney Leathers, they called her Pineapple. Which just adds to...
And then that guy that fumbled it. And he's like, oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Sydney Leathers is here. I mean, Pineapple.
Nobody had any, nobody had any control over this documentary. It was just anything that happened went in.
Not at all. It just, and then, so they had to sneak him out through the McDonald's. By the end of this documentary, it's just like a sad, it was a sad sack
mess.
Of darkness. So Huma leaves in a car, and then you see a crazy chase with Wiener and Pineapple through McDonald's. And you're like, is this a real thing happening? And it was.
You know, the filmmakers are just like, this is incredible. This is everything kept just, they were just handing them bars of gold. Here you go.
So Tig, yeah. Listen, it doesn't end well.
No.
No. So, needless to say,
he kept pulling his pants down.
And he did not win.
Right. He didn't win in many different areas.
In many ways.
They don't mention it on the documentary, but they divorced.
They did get divorced, yes. And then later, a few years later, he was found guilty of sexting with a minor. I think a 15-year-old girl or something.
And went to jail.
And he went for 15 months. Ooh, boy. He's out now. He's in a 12-step program for sex addiction.
Addiction.
What did I say?
Addition.
No. Okay. You say tomato, I say tomato. So he just says that his life revolves around his son, and he spent some time running a countertop store.
Okay.
And that's all I know.
All right. Well, I forgot about him, to be honest.
Oh.
Whenever I see Huma in something or read about her, I'm always like, oh, whew, right. She's is finished
free
with
of him.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time, Tig, for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not cry. Did you cry?
No, I did not cry.
It's very rare that we cry, so this question is like of boring a lot
no,
of times.
No, but I know, but what? So when it happens,
but
it
when
really
it happens,
something.
Yeah.
We very rarely cry at the same time, which is also weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird to think about?
You know what's weirder is when people actually cry at the same time.
It is? That's true. Usually one person is strong.
Stops. And maybe we've talked about it on the podcast, but again, let's pull the old file
out. They don't care.
Doesn't matter. I talked about it in my book, how when you're crying about something and your tears cause the person you're talking to start crying, the person that originally was crying pulls it together to let the other person cry.
Mm.
It's this really interesting thing where you rarely are sobbing together.
That is
one
true.
One person
that is
pulls
true.
It together and like gives the other person
consoles.
The moment.
Yeah. And they're like, oh no, now look at you.
And when I realized it, it really made me laugh because I was in the middle of a lot of sad things, years ago. And I noticed that when I cried and then somebody started crying, I stopped crying and I'd let them cry and then they would cry and then it would make me cry and then they would stop. And I was like, this is hilarious.
I've never thought about that before, but you're right. No, you're so right.
Rarely are two adults sitting like flipped upside down lips, bawling their eyes out together.
Yeah, usually one of them has to like sober up for a second and console. Otherwise, you've got two crazies on your hand.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, oh, you're taking my moment,
thing.
But okay,
that was
go
my
ahead.
Thing. I was doing that.
I was really sad, but now you are, so go ahead.
You do your thing.
And then what they say kind of triggers you, and then you start crying, and they pull it together.
Oh my God, we've got to start watching these together. Okay, it was good. I really liked it. Did you like it?
Loved it.
It was really, I don't want to say fun to watch because that's...
Well, he's so compelling and he's so...
Yes.
You have so much
so many gosh. Feelings.
He's so frustrating because he had so much he just...
Couldn't stop.
He couldn't stop. And you're just like, man. And aside from that, you could have had an incredible life, family.
Yeah, I know. But I guess that's true addiction, right? If somebody's really addicted to something, they cannot think about the consequences, and that's what's so difficult. So difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. Next week, on another note, we'll be talking about Three Identical Strangers, which you can watch on Hulu.
It's a good movie.
Good movie. Okay. Before we go, you want to read some true fan mail?
Sure.
Jason M. writes, while I love Tig and Cheryl equally, whoa, this is not a good start.
Somebody's loved a little more.
I have to say that of the two Russian accents, Tiggs is actually better.
Thank you. Well,
I give credit to Cheryl for doing hers before Tig was willing to. Thank you. When Tig got going with hers, it was almost like I was in a room with Vladimir Putin and several vials of urine to be smuggled. Congrats also to Tig for having the patience to teach Cheryl how to say her name each week. How dare you? That was Jason M. Kelly E. writes in about Tater Time, a huge hit among listeners. We want Tig to know that upon hearing her Tater Time recipe, I hope I never have to hear that recipe again, by the way. We dropped everything.
Oh, it's a very simple recipe.
We dropped everything. We went to the store and made it for dinner. Photo attached. Oh, my God.
Can you see the photo? Can you show it to me?
I can't see it. It was incredibly delicious. Neither of us are vegans. And we went bananas for it and can't wait to make it again. So easy, too.
Tater Time.
We hope you consider ending each episode with an easy-to-make vegan recipe. If your other recipes are half as tasty as Tater Time,
Kelly E.,
then we will all be vegans in no time at all.
Here's the thing.
Yeah?
Kelly E., when people say, I'm not even vegan and I liked it, it's like saying, I ate an apple and I'm not even vegan. Oh, I ate a salad and I'm not
feelings?
Even vegan.
Are you saying this hurt your feelings?
Of course. I'm devastated. No, my feelings aren't hurt. I'm just saying all it is a salad and a potato sitting there.
Yeah, we know. Hey, you want to hear what Katie S. writes?
All right.
Cheryl and Tig.
Yeah.
In the car, driving home from a 220-mile bike ride. Oh, my God. That's insane.
I'd like to see the thighs on this woman.
Ooh. I introduced two of my friends to your pod, Icarus. Was the episode de jour. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, we all laughed a bit too hard at Dick Pound. We're over 50, two women and one man. I'm happy to say that we are all 12-year-old boys in spirit with you. It is ridiculous. I mean,
why is it?
No, you wouldn't. Love the pod, and I thank you too. And I think you two have two new listeners. Aw. Thank you, Katie S. And your cyclist friends.
Yeah.
You want to hear one more quick thing?
Sure.
Remember...
is it someone saying they like me more?
No. Remember our air guitar. What was it called? Air guitar.
Guitar Nation?
Yeah.
Air Guitar Nation.
Yeah. And we talked about Bjorn to Rock. Remember Bjorn
to
Rock?
He was who I was in love with. Yeah.
He reached out to us on Twitter. And he said, love the podcast. Thanks for waxing about and watching our weirdness. Air kisses, Bjorn. Oh, my God. That's the cutest. Air
Bjorn.
Kisses. That's so cute.
Oh, my God. He so likes me more.
You got that from that?
Yeah. He thinks I'm sexier.
I'll say okay to that if that
I'm hashtag hot Tig and you're hashtag nay girl nay.
By the way, also on Instagram, somebody got hashtag hot Cheryl going. I don't know if it's caught on. Let's be honest.
Nice try, Cheryl.
They did. They wrote it
nice
in there.
Nice try.
They wrote it in there.
Nice try. Who was that? Was it maybe the same person that made a Curb Your Enthusiasm porn? Is that the same person that started hashtag hot Cheryl?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just investigating. Do you have anything to
Cheryl,
promote? Yeah?
Just, you know, I've Army of the Dead. I'm in that movie on Netflix. I have a book. I have a podcast called Don't Ask Tig. I have, you know.
You got stuff.
Comedy specials and albums.
We got it.
TV shows.
Yep. We got it.
What about you?
I got stuff. I'm not going to bore you with it.
Thank you.
I mean, you can catch me on Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO any old time of the day. By the way, I don't mean to be braggadocious, but the New York Times just came out with their list of the best comedies of the century.
Was In the Motherhood on that?
Did it rank number one again? But I have to say, Curb Your Enthusiasm was... I mean, I don't know that they listed them in order, but It was the first one mentioned. Whatever. Anyway.
It's a great show.
Thank you, Tig. You guys, we love reading your messages and your comments and your reviews. Keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review, and we might just read your responses on the show.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again.
Nice!
Oh, jeez. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.